I want to talk, hopefully I can stay focused. I want to talk about, as little as possible, the problems that are happening in the WordPress world. And it's, you know, I come to the WordPress world from a, from a very strange perspective. I might be the only person in the world coming to it from this perspective. I worked on blogging from 1994 to 2000, Well, I never really stopped working on it that way. But when, but I had a company and we were doing products and we developed a lot of the practices that people use and some practices that they don't use and some features that really should be there. Integrations between publishing and reading and writing should be in there, and there should be features for programmers and designers, and but yet there should be functional software for each that doesn't like spread it all out over all the features of the product. It, there should be a way for designers to approach it, a way for programmers to approach it, and a way for writers to approach it. And writers are the ones that have been left out, in my opinion, in the whole WordPress world. There are editors for WordPress, but they aren't writers' editors. And the one thing we know about writers is there's no one writer tool that works for all writers. There, in the 80s, when there was a proliferation of writing tools, lots and lots of them, successful companies too, and there was never a single thing that everybody used. Luckily, there was no problem because there were no requirements other than you'd be able to print and save. And even interop wasn't, you know, between the different products was not a feature. You used WordPerfect or WordPress or Multimate or Zyrite or I don't know how many of them I can remember. MacWrite, I suppose, is quite a lot of people use. There was TMaker had a product, a writing tool. There was PFS Write. They all had different points of view about writing. And I think it was a good thing. So, but we get to the web, and writing somehow gets lost or gets lost, I think would be the right word. I don't know. It's even worse than lost. It's stripped for parts, maybe. There really aren't any writing tools for the web. I mean, that have any great popularity. There are writing tools out there, but not really for the web. And WordPress is definitely not a writing tool. Try writing something in at some point. And I don't know. It's like, I wouldn't use it as a writing tool. So anyway, but I like dropped out of the software industry in 2002 for personal reasons, health reasons, and good health reasons. And but I did keep working on software. It's just I didn't want the pressure that comes from being at the top of a community filled with greedy, angry people. People who wanted to take the open stuff that we had created and own it. And that was the constant battle. Or they wanted credit for it. Or they wanted something from it, but they weren't putting very much, if anything, into it. And vilifying me and making my life difficult, deliberately difficult, was a problem, you know. It's ridiculous how effective that can be if everybody has access to you. And so that was the one sort of thing I didn't really understand. My idea was the idealist's view of it, which is I'm going to be available to everybody. I'm just going to be a normal person and I'm going to do my job. And this way I'm going to have all the inputs from all the people and it's going to be really good. Well, that turned out to be, well, you understand how that works now, right? Because we're all the way at the other end of that extreme. And, you know, the social media that we were building at the time has turned into an incredible tool for harming people. And I was getting it very early, only we didn't know what it was. So people tended to blame me for it. And, you know, that itself was a lot of stress. So in the aftermath of that, now I'm gone and, you know, from actively building blogging software in, say, 2002, along comes WordPress. And, of course, I was aware of WordPress, and I had at times used it for certain things, but I never became a member of the WordPress community. It wasn't something I wanted to do, and I didn't do it. And over time, but I did like to connect to it. I made software, and I wanted to connect to it, and they were using the same open protocols we were using in the late 90s, early 2000s. But there came a day when that didn't work anymore. And I would guess that would be in, like, say, 2015, 2016, somewhere in there. And I assumed they had turned the server, the APIs, off. Because eventually they were going to do that, I figured. Because there had been, you know, they were built on XML RPC, the world had moved to a different thing called REST. And I also think I noticed that they were working on a REST interface, and I thought, okay, this is their transition. And so I took the features out of my product. They could no longer cross-post to WordPress. This was a mistake. They didn't turn off their APIs. They were still there, and they developed more APIs that were even better. And so anyway, I got involved in another project with Automattic a couple of years ago. And along the side of that, since I was working with them, I felt I should understand the product. This is something I've pretty much always done. If I work with somebody, you know, I try to understand their products because there are opportunities in there. And it also helps you understand how the company works. And the more I worked with it, and there was a moment when I really realized that there's a gold mine sitting in here, because they've really invested in the API in a very serious way. And they built a JavaScript, browser-based JavaScript application on top of those APIs, so you know they can't break them. And that said, they don't tend to break APIs anyway. It's not in their culture, and it's a very good thing. Companies that deprecate and then break their developers, deprecate APIs and then break the developers, are companies you really don't want to develop for, because it says they've got a really wrong attitude about developers and how many of them there are and what are their abilities to add to the market. If you're constantly forcing them to re-engineer the very basics of their product, you're going to be breaking big pieces of their product. There are parts of it they're not going to bring back, which, you know, I've lived that. So companies that don't break developers, that's very cool. That's very important. And then I kept trying to ask people, how do people write with this? How do people write in WordPress? And I would generally get back, you know, sort of like blank, the equivalent of a blank stare. It's like, I don't understand the question. Now, realize that it's now, you know, let's say I'm doing this in 2023, 2024. It's now 20 plus years since WordPress has been founded and started. So a culture has developed, and I couldn't believe there weren't better writing tools, given that they had the API sitting there. Anybody could have done it. And not only that, they had an incredible hosting service in WordPress.com that can support, you know, I don't know if there's any limit on the number of users they can support. That's quite a combination sitting right there. Why is nobody moving into that? And why aren't, when I ask the questions, I get the blank stares? And I think it's because there's a culture there that where there is no place there. They're younger. They don't remember the 1980s. They don't remember the 1990s. They don't know how we got to this place. And they don't think in terms of writing tools for web content management systems. They don't think of specific tools for writers. And I don't I know a lot about this. And so I started a project, and I did several iterations of it, which means that I threw out what I had several times because I didn't like the direction it was headed in. And rather than try to transition what I had, it was a lot faster just to say, you know, let's just tear the piece of paper off the pad and let's start a new, you know, prototype here. And then early last year in 2024, I felt, okay, I think I finally have it now. I think I understand how this, it wasn't actually early. It was sort of early to mid, you know, when I realized that I had something more or less that worked the way I wanted it to, which I had written for my own back end. And so I took the core of that and I moved it over and on top of WordPress. It was a rewrite. I mean, in the end, it was a rewrite, but still having the framework there for that helped a lot. It answered a lot of questions. It was a product called 1999.io, and it was something I built in the end mostly for private use. I used it for writing scripting news for a few years, that used what I had learned from using Facebook. Because Facebook actually has a lot of interesting user interface techniques that we should learn from them. This is, I don't know, I said this when everybody was walking away from Facebook. I said, if you're a software developer, you're making a mistake because there's a tremendous amount of prior art over there that a billion people know how to use. So you should be using it if only for that, because every one of those ideas, you don't have to guess about whether people will understand them. They already do. And that led to me wanting to do a product based on those ideas. And so I picked up that piece and I started very carefully writing the code for this because I didn't want to be dealing with bugs for this for any period of time. I'm really, on this product, I don't want to deal with broken software. I just don't want to deal with it. Because I think it has the potential to be used by an awful lot of people. Because there are a lot of people that try to write with WordPress, and it's not doing a very good job for them. Also, you can see that there's a market here because of Ghost and Substack. These are systems that I don't know why they aren't like just working on top of WordPress. If I were them, I think I would have done that. But they are writing tools, and they do what WordPress should be doing, and WordPress should be doing more, because WordPress has a different philosophy for development. It's not trying to lock people in. That's another really good thing about WordPress. It's not one of their goals, and you can see it in their implementation. Now, when I talk about WordPress, I'm talking about the whole thing. I don't really, as somebody who's been away from it for its whole life, basically, very remote from it, I don't understand the pieces. I don't get it, and I don't need to get it, and I really don't want to. I want to view WordPress as a thing. And if it has a philosophy, and it behaves a certain way, and I can trust it in this area, but I don't necessarily trust it in this area. And I've developed a good sense of when to trust platforms, because I've got many, many years invested in that. And I'm like a football coach who's been in the game as in every possible role you can imagine. And pioneered a lot of the techniques that the game is built on. And now I'm going to another culture that's developed its own version of football. Only they stopped watching after a while, and there are a lot of things that they don't know about. So, and I prefer to look at it as just one thing. And up until very recently, I've just thought, well, that's Matt Mullenweg. That's the person I need to talk to. But now I hear voices of an awful lot of other people. And it's because they're angry and because they feel unrepresented and ineffective and controlled and all these things that I recognize and I understand. I feel that way about Twitter. I feel that we got betrayed by Twitter, but I also had my eyes open all the time, knew that it probably was going to happen. So, I add that little caveat to it. If you're feeling betrayed here, well, I get that. On the other hand, you should know that you should learn from this. You should know when you're doing it, that you're doing it, and that it's one of the possibilities. It's one of the things that is actually probably, inevitably is going to happen. Unless there are a lot of safeguards put in place, and I'm happy to say that WordPress actually has those. So, okay, I'm willing to adjust my view of this. I mean, I've known Matt for many, many years. I mean, I wouldn't say that I know him well, but I've known him for a long time, since he was a very, very young person. And I just don't know that many other people that are involved in WordPress in any function, in any capacity, But I'm not willing to do what you want me to do. This is where I get to the point. Because yesterday I came out with Bingeworthy 3. It was kind of an accidental release. But it was okay. It was time to show it to people. It wasn't in great shape. I didn't really want to work on it anymore. But it was a popular product. And I love it. I love Bingeworthy. It's the one that I missed the most when Twitter broke us. And so, but I had converted it to use WordPress identity. I had to convert it to something because I couldn't use Twitter identity anymore. And I had actually built up a whole identity system that I could have used that was email-based. But I decided to go a different way and to use WordPress. And the reason why I did that is twofold. One is I'm using WordPress identity for Wordland, which is the writing tool that I've developed for WordPress. So if I use one identity system for one product and another one for another product, what kind of sense does that make? They don't have any compatibility. These two are completely different systems. The identity that you have in one has nothing to do with the identity in another. And I'm just one person. How many identity systems does one person need? The answer is one. And even better if it's something that a lot of other people use too. So, and there's the second reason it's got an advantage. It means they can work with each other. These two products can work with each other. And Bingeworthy could use a blogging tool built into it or intimately accessible through it with a lot of good communication between the two components so that you could flip a switch and write a review of a show and then flip back and have it show up in the user interface of Bingeworthy, because at some level, they're actually the same program. And this is implemented, and this works. So I open it up, and the very first comment is, I hate so-and-so. Not in those words. I won't use his product because I don't like what he's doing. And if you're in the WordPress world, you know who I'm talking about. And I want to make this really clear. I wanted to put this out now because I can see this is going to be a problem. And I don't want it to be a problem. I don't accept it as a problem. I don't see it as my problem. And I don't think you want me to not do this product. If you really think things through, this is what I would ask you to do. If you're like upset, angry, up in arms, betrayed, all these things, which I have said, I totally get. I understand that. I've been there. I'm there right now with a bunch of platforms. You never lose it. I mean, Apple did this to me 30 years ago. And I'm always telling people that think Apple is some great marvel of honor and integrity and loves their users and their developers, etc. I keep always trying to ground them in the reality is that you're dreaming right now, my friends. That is not what they are. And it's not really fair to ask them to be that, because they've got a business to run. And heavy duty ideology is not generally very compatible with running a business. You should have some core ideologies that you don't compromise on, that this is what you do. But there's always going to be things that come from other worlds that make you do things that if you want to, like, I don't know, maybe in an ideal world, I would have rather had this product come out 5 years ago or 5 years in the future, before or after all this stuff has settled down, or before it has happened, before it's bubbled up. But this is it. This is where I'm coming into it. And but I want you to think about what you want the outcome to be here. Take a step back. You're making statements. You're saying things. But your things don't include what you want. So what's the point? If you don't know what you want, what are you really doing here? You're venting, you're letting your emotions out and all this stuff. I'm going to tell you the truth here is nobody really cares. That's another thing you're going to have to deal with, or it's in front of you to understand and accept, is that really they care about themselves. They don't care about you. So if you're upset, okay, but and live with it and own it. But you don't have to make that, because there has to be something in the future. I very strongly want to say that I don't think WordPress goes away for any time in the near future. I don't think it can happen. I don't think it will. It's built in. It's 20 years of effectively having no competition and having not completely blown it. I'm being sarcastic there. They haven't blown it at all. I've been heaping out the praise here about what I see as the strengths of the platform. I'm almost parodying the people who think things are that bad, because actually they're actually pretty good. And it's not going away. You know, as somebody who has an arm's length relationship with, you know, whatever, all the different components of this thing that I call WordPress, a little personal story. When my dad died in 2009 at the age of 80, as they say, after a long illness, we created a memorial site for him, place that we could put all of his photographs. He was an amateur photographer. He was a college professor in New York City. But he, as a hobbyist, he liked to travel. They traveled a lot. My parents traveled a lot, and he took a lot of pictures. And he had been retired for a few years, and he had put quite a bit of time into organizing the pictures. And I assume with an eye towards having them be preserved after he was gone. And so that's what we did. And we put it on a WordPress site, on WordPress.com. And if you think about it, that really was the only choice. There were other choices. Yes, there are other blog hosting systems out there. There are. But number one is WordPress. And number one of the number one is WordPress.com. It's the obvious answer. So there got to be, and it works. It's still there. We pay the fee. It's a custom domain name, and we pay the annual fee, and his site's there, and I don't worry about it. I know it's taken care of. And I also want to buy him a little bit of his memory, a little bit of time after I'm gone. And there may be a chance. They haven't offered me a way to pay in advance for this stuff, by the way. If anybody from Automattic is listening, you might want to do that. You know, let me give you $1,000 and let me prepay for 50 years worth of hosting. I know you had something like that, but it really shouldn't be anything more than the number of the annual fee times the number of years you want to pay in advance. Plus, of course, there should be a discount if you're paying in advance. But my point here is that products that match all those criteria that I just outlined, they don't go away. It just doesn't happen. And I also ask you, in addition to figuring out what you want, as I ask you to look at this from a sober point of view, don't let your emotions drive you here. Let your intellect drive you. Go do some research. things like this don't go away. I mean, there are lots of examples of this in the tech industry. There are things that still exist that you wouldn't think they would still exist, but they do. And WordPress is not a basket case. WordPress is strong. WordPress is probably something like MySQL. It's probably like that. No, not a, I mean, it's going to be here. So I'm going to move it forward. That's what I'm going to do here. What I'm going to do is twofold. One is I'm going to put out a product called Wordland. Wordland will be a good editor for people who write with WordPress. And it will also be a, what I call CoreReef. It comes with an API of its own, and it's in a GitHub repository, MIT licensed. It's called WP Identity. It's in my directory, which is scripting. That's my username on GitHub. So it's scripting / WP Identity. And that service has doesn't care what the editor is. It'll work for all editors. I plan to put another editor in there, and maybe more than one. So what I'm doing is laying a foundation for Wordland's competitors. I'm saying it's not enough just to have one editor here. As I said earlier, is that writing tools, in general, there's no one writing tool for everybody. People like different ways, different approaches, very subtle little things that they love about the product that they have adopted as their standard. Go talk to a writer who wrote professionally or seriously in the 1980s and through the 90s. Ask them what they used. You won't hear them say, I used a little bit of this, and then I tried this, and I used a little bit. No, they'll say, I was WordStar all the way. And I loved it because, and da-da-da. I know this very well because I had one of those products sitting in there. And when I met one of my users at a trade show, they could recite chapter and verse. Every little feature that they loved, every quirk they hated, all the things they wished that we would listen to them about. These are, you know, you ask for feature list, request list from these people, it pretty much looked the same. These people were as up on the design of the product as anybody at our company. They understood it. So, and you could, you don't have to use my API either. You could use theirs. Mine is has some more features. It's, I think, easier to deploy. I know it is, actually. It's easier to deploy. It's more heavily factored. It sucks more of the functionality that every client would have to do into a package that, you know, hides it. High-level verbs on top of that stuff factored out. It's progress. You can use it. You don't have to use it. And what I'm hoping is that, well, we see some new editors come in. And they, by the way, this has more features than the old APIs that they still support from the late 90s, the Meta Weblog API. And we build. And what I love about this is if we all work on the same foundation, which to some extent we are, because we're all going to be using the WordPress API, we're going to have a lot of interop. And we're going to provide something for the users, something that they've not only not had in the land of WordPress, but we're going to give them something that they haven't been provided with by any platform on the internet. Because they don't do it. Because companies like Substack and Ghost make their money on making it very difficult for people to switch off their platform to use some other platform. If they built on top of WordPress, then switching off their platform would be a no-op. It would be nothing, trivial. And that's why the incompatibility serves as a defense for them, and it deprives users of choice. My idea here is we're going to build a system where you could switch to a different editor and lose nothing and not have to do any imports or exports. All your data is going to still be there, and you could use two or three of them. You could use one on your laptop, and you could use one on your desktop, and one on your whatever we're using in 5 years. And in theory at least, if we all play fair here, it won't matter. They'll all work on the same data. See, that's something, and I'm really going on a long time here, I know. 30 minutes. See, that's something we had in the 80s that we've lost, is this ability to not only do we own our own data, but it could be operated on by different programs. Not necessarily in writing so much, although it certainly technically was possible, but in graphics, in working on bitmaps or vector graphic files or whatever, they were good tools that worked, and you'd have to use different tools because the tools that work on graphics are so complicated that no product can do everything. We can do that. We know how to do that. And if we can create a developer ecosystem that really is above all of the things that people are so angry about right now. Those will fade into the distance. That's just their problem. It's not our problem. It doesn't have to be our problem. And the more independence we have, I think, the easier it's going to be for them to work out their differences. But let's view it that way. Let's not view it as these are our problems. You know? And like I said, I didn't say this part. It could be I'm missing something. If I really am, if there's something in here, there's a hidden trap door that I'm not aware of that, you know, should make me want to, like, just go ahead and finally retire and forget about this. I mean, this is kind of like the last big dream of my career. You know, I don't probably get another one of these. So that's why it's really important. Don't bring me the grief. I got grief yesterday and I didn't like it. I got grief because they were telling me, well, you know, it's like the equivalent of you're being a scab. We're on strike and you're being a scab. And I don't buy it. You know, if somebody's on strike, they can tell you what they want. If they can't, they really shouldn't be on strike. And I'm not going to go on strike in sympathy unless I really feel like I have to be there, and I don't. I feel like I can view WordPress as being a thing that transcends time. I've taken my sweet time to get around to doing this, and I'm not concerned about its future. I think its future, it's going to be here for a very, very, very long time, relatively speaking. Okay, everybody, thank you for listening, and talk to you soon. Bye.